Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Wall Street Lion John E. Oden about white collar boxing and his fascinating new book, Life in the Ring. So stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Drop by and check it out. Brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and hometown of wrestler Hulk Hogan, Tampa Bay, Florida.
Look at this now as they stare. Muhammad Ali beginning to talk to George Foreman. They're really putting the stare on each other. George Foreman has that serious look. Ali definitely talking to him. Look at the stare on George Foreman. Look at Ali give him the word. So the stage is set. We're just about ready to begin. Round one, the heavyweight championship of the world at stake. There can be no more pure form of sport than a heavyweight championship fight when two individuals, finely tuned athletes, climb into the ring. This time, the championship is at stake, and $5 million will be paid to both fighters. Ali ready, Foreman ready. We're waiting for the opening bell. The enthusiasm begins to mount here. One thing we want to look out for is just how fast this man, George Foreman, will open. As we mentioned, in his past several fights, he hasn't gone in the past 4 years beyond two rounds in any fight. Can Ali dance and stay away from him? Is George Foreman's thundering punches going to be too much for him? Is the left hook that is so devastating, the tremendous left hook, going to stop Ali? Here we go.
Little known fact. Shortly after my daughter was born, I took private boxing lessons for almost 2 years at the 4th Street Boxing Club here in St. Petersburg. I never sparred. I never wanted to hit anyone. I just wanted to know I could if I had to. And I didn't particularly want to get hit either. I hated the shadow boxing my instructor insisted upon as a warm-up. I was awkward in the worst white guy way. But I struggled through it each week to get to the good stuff, including my time on the speed bag, which I loved so much I installed one in the garage at home for a few years. We always finished with 15 minutes of my teacher calling out punches, left jab, right jab, uppercut, as I aimed for his open, padded hands as they moved up and down around his face and midsection. Eventually, I stopped going to the boxing gym for a number of reasons. I tried traditional gyms such as Gold's for a while for the workout, but it didn't appeal to me in the same way. So that was why I was interested in talking to John E. Oden about his new book, Life in the Ring, Lessons and Inspiration from the Sport of Boxing. That, and the fact Oden isn't just an ink-stained wretch like me, he makes his money as a principal in a global money management and research firm on Wall Street, Alliance Bernstein. But he's an amateur boxer himself, which also fascinates me. John, welcome to Mr. Media.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing great, thank you.
I'm going to apologize to you. No one else seems to know this, but we were a little delayed getting started here, but for technical reasons. But, John, your day job is on Wall Street, so no wonder you daydream about punching people, right?
Well, it's a good release of energy, and it's also great exercise. I found that one key to this job, where there is a lot of pressure, is to put your best foot forward, and you do that by showing up feeling good about yourself physically, mentally, and having a good exercise regimen, whatever it may be, is key to that. And for me, it's been boxing, really, for about the last 15 or 20 years.
And so you do step into the ring on an amateur basis, is that right?
Well, I sparred five rounds last night at the New York Athletic Club. I spar five rounds every Wednesday night. I try to work in another session sometime during the week, but Wednesday nights are a religion, and I competed for many years as a white collar boxer. I don't really compete anymore, but I had a great experience competing in about 20 fights scattered around the world. But now I just use it for fun, recreation, and exercise.
Can I ask your age?
I always say I'm on the dark side of 50. I don't want to scare off any of my younger opponents.
I got you. You don't want them to feel like, oh, I can't take a swing at him. He's too old. Yeah.
Right.
Now, this is your second book. The first was literally, it was white-collar boxing. So, I mean, you have a greater interest in this than I think the average person sparring once a week.
Yes, I started boxing when I was approaching middle age, and I looked in the mirror one day and didn't like what I saw. I was gaining a little weight and so forth and didn't look quite as svelte as I had in the past. So I decided to jumpstart my athletic career, and I considered a number of different sports and settled on boxing and went to the New York Athletic Club and started doing a basic workout related to boxing. Eventually got in the ring and sparred and then started competing. So I eventually went down to Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn, which is the home of white-collar boxing, got on their international traveling team and fought in London three times and just had a lot of fun with the sport. I've always liked the sport. I think the sport is a fantastic sport. I love watching a great boxing match, and for me to be able to do it was just a thrilling phenomena, and to actually, you know, be successful at it was something that I consider one of the most fun things I've done in my life. So yes, I have had a real interest in the sport and continue to have one.
And just out of curiosity, when you watch a boxing match, can you actually feel the punches being thrown? I think that's a real male kind of thing.
Well, I don't feel them as much as when I'm actually taking them myself, but I can relate.
Right.
And I, you know, when you see a guy like Foreman, not George Foreman, but the other young Foreman who fought Miguel Cotto the other night, stumble and fall and, you know, have the pain he was obviously going through when he was fighting at Yankee Stadium. Uri Foreman is his name. I could feel that pain because, you know, there's nothing worse than having problems with your legs. When you box, you need to have every part of your body and your mind functioning at 110%. And for his leg to get hurt like that, I felt very badly for him. So, yes, I can relate to it, but there's nothing like actually seeing that punch coming, and it's the glove in your face.
Now, in this book, Life in the Ring, you take readers back to the basics of pro boxing with profiles of 13 boxers, plus, which I thought was brilliant, a glossary of the sports terms and an explanation of the rules and weight classes. But I was kind of curious, who's the intended market for a book like this?
Anybody and everybody. It's really meant to be an inspirational book with a boxing backdrop. And yes, it is a boxing book and has been labeled as a boxing book. And at Barnes & Noble, it's in the boxing book section. But if you read it, every story is unique. The people, you know, it's really life stories of people who suffered defeat, setbacks, you know, had problems with their personal life that were a drag on their career. But in each case, they were able to dig down deep, you know, have a vision for themselves and reach up and grab it. So I really think that the inspiration is there. And, you know, each chapter is unique. It's divided into 12 chapters. It's like 12 short stories. And they're profound, you know, not because I wrote them. It's not a fiction book. These are true stories. I just put them down in print, but they're fantastic stories.
Now, I'll tell folks that the profiles here, Muhammad Ali, actually, you know, I said it was 13 profiles, but it's sort of 14.
Actually, it's 15.
Is it 15?
Because there are three chapters that have two people, you know, Tunney,
Dempsey,
the Klitschko brothers, and then Joe Lewis Schmeling. And Max Schmeling. So that adds three to the 12, so it's 15.
Dempsey and Tunney, right.
Yep.
Is there something that you found that ties a lot of these guys together, a similar thread to many of their lives?
Well, I would say the one sort of clip would be don't ever give up. These guys had every reason to give up in some places. I mean, they were beaten and battered and had incredible obstacles thrown in front of them. You know, Jimmy Braddock in the Depression lost everything. You know, had to move his family into a small little apartment. His kids were separated for a while. He broke his hands in so many places so often. I've never actually broken a bone in a hand as a boxer, but I just can't imagine, you know, repeatedly doing that and still fighting and then eventually overcoming and becoming a heavyweight champion of the world. So I think it was that ability to just hang in there, that determination, that drive, that confidence in yourself, that willingness to reach for the brass ring that I would say is in each and every chapter. And again, the stories are great. The problem I had was narrowing it down to 12 chapters, 12 rounds of boxing, you know, 15 boxers, because I had so many to choose from.
Who just barely missed the cut?
Well, I was there's a chapter on courage and confidence, and it's chapter one. And I actually listed out five potential boxers for each chapter. And in that chapter, I narrowed it down to finally two boxers. And they were Muhammad Ali, which is who I ultimately chose, and then John L. Sullivan. Because I think John L. Sullivan was the guy in Boston who would, walk into a bar and, you know, I don't know if I can use the language that he used on the radio. Okay. I can lick any some bitch in the house. and he would proceed to do so and challenge anyone to beat him for $1,000 and have the money there if he ever lost, which he never did. And, you know, he would just work his way around the country and had so much confidence in himself. And he was really, I mean, he's not as well known now, of course, as he was, but he was the first true sports icon in this country. I mean, he was bigger than life back in the 19th century. And, with the courage and confidence to match. And people don't know him now. So I actually chose Ali because he was a little more known. I thought people could relate to him a bit. The book actually spans about 100 years of boxers, all the way from Dempsey Tunney in the 20s to the current heavyweight champions of the world, the Klitschko brothers. But it encompasses everything in between. But the selection was tough, and there were many runners-up.
And, it just occurred to me, they're all heavyweights in this book, right?
No. There's Joe Calzaghe, who was a middleweight champion. There's Bernard Hopkins, who was a middleweight champion. There was Oscar De La Hoya, who was a champion in seven different weight classes, none of which were heavyweight. Jake LaMotta, who was a middleweight champion, and so forth. There's a pretty good mix, but it definitely is slanted toward heavyweights.
Well, that's what I thought. And, you know, I in reading through it, you know, you after a period of time, you recognize all the names. I was more focused on the story. I wasn't really thinking about weight class. one guy that's not in the book, and I imagine there's a lot of reasons why, is Mike Tyson. But
yes, he was on the very final list for the chapter four, round four, the quality of being tough, because he was tough, and he came up from the streets, and, you know, he had lots of setbacks and everything else. But I did not choose him for that consciously because of his image, and I didn't really want to endorse that, and I apologize for that, but I just made a decision that Jake LaMotta, who was, you know, he had his own brand of tough, could represent that chapter very well. And that's just a choice I made.
Well, and then finally, before we run out of time, the guy that I've always been fascinated by was Rocky Marciano, and I really enjoyed the profile of him in this book.
Rocky Marciano was an amazing guy. He could have been in a number of chapters. I really had to make a hard decision whether to put him in the chapter of overcoming pain, because he did that. He would wade right through his opponents. He would take five punches in order to deliver one. But that one punch he would deliver would do the job. But he also, more than almost anyone, his training methods were so incredible. He would absolutely just recuse himself for 2 months prior to a match and would not be around anything that would remind him of the outside world. He would go off into a camp, and he was so disciplined. But I chose Bernard Hopkins for that chapter, discipline and preparation, because Bernard actually is well known for that too, and has lived a very Spartan life in the years he's been boxing. But Rocky could have done a great job in either chapter. What a guy!
What a guy indeed. Well, look, folks, you can order John E. Oden's new book, Life in the Ring, Lessons and Inspiration from the Sport of Boxing, at great bookstores everywhere or at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And you can find out more about John at his website. It's John E., his middle initial, Oden, O-D-E-N.com. That's all solid, John E. Oden.com. John, Twitter, Facebook, any of that kind of place where people can find you as well?
Yes, there's a Facebook chapter two. I think it's in the name of the book.
Oh, okay.
But it could be in my name. I'm very low tech, but it's definitely out there.
Great. Well, John, fascinating book, and I enjoyed talking to you. I wish we had more time, but I want to say thanks again for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Okay, Bob. Thank you very much. I appreciate your interest, and thanks. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. You take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. And folks, for more original interviews with athletes and sports writers, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com, and just search Mr. Media. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Sure appreciate your time. Come back and hear us again real soon. Bye-bye.